What a dramatic ending then. Leicester City, for the first time in the club's history, win the FA Cup. But goodness me, they are made to sweat.
Yeah, but I think they deserved it in the end. You mentioned it. We were watching the game. Chelsea woke up too late. Team selection, all these things. We'll talk about Chelsea in a bit. But from Leicester City's perspective, I think one, a shot in the arm for the manager, who I consider one of the best out there. You know, he's done another great job. Did it at Liverpool, did it at Celtic. Doing it again at Leicester City. Looks like they'll be in the top four as well. It's not done yet, but it looks likely. Did it without his most influential leader, Johnny Evans, who played but wasn't fit, so had to reorganise that. We talked about Tielemans getting forward. We talked about his quality. He's done that for Belgium. He's done it again on one of the biggest stages. What a goal that was. And on top of that, at the other end, when your goalkeeper needs to make a save, Kasper Schmeichel made one of the best saves I've seen for many a year in any game after that Mason Mount strike. And it's so good to have the fans back for these players and these supporters to enjoy this moment. And Leicester, in my opinion, thoroughly deserving of this FA Cup victory today.
Jürgen Klinsmann with us as well. Jürgen, these are great pictures, aren't they?
They're wonderful pictures and so deserved. I mean, outstanding, you know, master plan from Brendan Rodgers. I think it helped them, actually, then they lost Johnny Evans, that they went to a back four. They got better organized. Chelsea never really got into the game. Obviously, the last 10, 15 minutes, they pushed it hard. They brought in attacking-minded players, but that was not enough. I mean, I think fully deserved by Leicester City. Beautiful goal by Tielemans, no doubt about it. And what two saves by Kasper Schmeichel. I mean, these two saves. I mean, obviously, they remind you of his dad, his father. But I think, you know, if you talk about Kasper Schmeichel in the big picture, he's one of the top five goalkeepers in Europe. There's no doubt about it. To win this trophy today means the world to them. It's an outstanding achievement for Leicester City, but it's a huge, huge disappointment for Chelsea.
Luis Garcia is with us as well. Luis, what a time for the fans to be back in the stadium.
Amazing, and for their players, I can trust me if I tell you that it's totally different for them to get the winning trophy or get a fantastic game on a final, not having the chance of sharing it with the fans. So you can see the faces of all the fans couldn't believe it for this Leicester after seeing that through the game. We've seen a Leicester that couldn't manage to arrive to the other end, try to get chances, create chances, and with that amazing goal, they're going to get the trophy, the missing trophy for the fans, for the club. And again, fantastic to see the players enjoying with the fans. It's something beautiful that we miss so much, and the final we could see today.
Frank Leboeuf with us as well. With your Chelsea hat on, Frank, they just didn't get going early enough in this game.
Yes, that's what it is. And I was thinking about how I felt, you know. I could be sad for Chelsea, but I'm not. Because, you know what, I'm happy for Leicester and what they showed. In fact, it's the victory of the ancient football against the new football. The ancient football is maybe less thoughtful, but it's full of hopes and beliefs. And it's what happened to Leicester. They stopped thinking, they just believed. Where Chelsea was maybe thinking 3-4 times before doing, trying anything. And the last 15 minutes, when it starts stopping, giving up thinking, but just trying to push forward and play vertically, they finally find some ways to maybe score. But I'm fed up with that football where you turn around the tiki-taka and you're not vertical enough and you just, well, should I do that pass? Should I? No, I don't. I go back and I turn around and I play handball, where at the end of the day, it's not productive. And Leicester gave a lesson today about what football should be. It should be intuitive. It's why we like it, because it's intuitive. It's not a chess game. It's an intuitive game. And Leicester just showed it today.
How good will that be for Youri Tielemans?
Oh,
you know, I've seen him do it many times. I've seen him do it for Belgium. We're going to see a lot of him in the Euros probably. But to pick that ball up, as he did from, it was controversial because it came off Ayoze Perez, I think, came off his knee or his leg and then onto his arm. I didn't have a problem with it. VAR didn't have a problem with it. And then he picked the ball up, and here's a possible handball that Chelsea were complaining about. Still a lot to do, picks it up. Jorginho, who never got close to anybody all day, couldn't get near to him. And then it's just about the technique, right? This is something players work on. There's the complaints from the Chelsea players. Now, Reece James with the ball forward. Now, comes off the knee first. We never thought that was going to be overturned.
Craig,
yes.
Craig, if I may, the problem is your question mark is it a defensive action from the player who touches the ball with his hand, or is it an offensive action? Because if it's an offensive action, there is a foul, because he cannot touch the ball with his hand. If it's a defensive action, which could be because he tries to get the ball back, he has the right to touch the ball with his hand because he touched his knee before.
Yep.
That's the big question that the VAR has to explain to us, because it's an offensive position that he has, but he has maybe a defensive action. So I don't know where to stand. I don't know if it's an handball or not. And maybe I will have an answer from you or from others.
Well, I don't know what the other guys think. I didn't have a major problem with it in the end, when I just enjoyed the Youri Tielemans strike. We saw in that 97 FA Cup final, Frank, we saw a strike from Roberto Di Matteo, I think, in the first minute of the game, that was from a similar distance, come off the underside of the crossbar. You know, to do it, you can do that. You do it in a league game, and there's another one next week, and there's another league game next week. But a strike like that in the FA Cup final, that's something else.
A lot more analysis to come then, but let's head back to Wembley for the trophy lift with Taylor and John.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Glorious moments for the players and supporters of Leicester City. The trophy, the fifth in the 149-year history of this most famous of knockout competitions, awaiting a captain to come and collect it. It will be presented by the president of the Football Association, the Duke of Cambridge. There will be medals for the winners and commemorative medallions for the runners-up. Medals too for the officials, who in the end played quite a part with that VAR intervention to deny Chelsea what they were convinced was an equalising goal on the cusp of stoppage time. There will always be question marks, recriminations, a sense of what might have been. But that's for the losers, not for the winners. Those fabulous Foxes who have done it again with a stunning goal from Youri Tielemans, and just as astonishing a save from Kasper Schmeichel. The pair of them there writing themselves, Taylor Twellman, into FA Cup final folklore today.
As good of a strike as that was from Tielemans, and you and I were watching the highlights of Steven Gerrard in 2006, that is equally up to it. Schmeichel's save on Mason Mount, that's in the conversation as well. It's one of the greatest saves. And now Kasper can look at his dad and say, listen, I've got my own FA Cup. But two wonderful moments for Leicester City. While everyone will talk about VAR, nobody will in that group and in that circle in the present time.
And it's not just the players and the substitutes and those that didn't make the squad today, but all the staff members who have travelled the highways and byways of England during difficult times. British television demanding its share of the time of Mattias Schmeichel and Vardy.
There's no party until Vardy shows up.
He's there now, and he launches his very own party. Not the first of his career, not maybe the biggest shock win of his career, but one that will resonate nonetheless. Leicester City, founded in 1884 as Leicester Fosse, a And it has taken them 137 years to finally get their hands on the FA Cup. They were founded by a group of former pupils of a local school, Wiggiston School. And they've come an awfully long way since then. Years of relative anonymity, occasional moments in the spotlight, three League Cups, but now an FA Cup, which will shortly be presented to them by the President of the Football Association, His Royal Highness Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge. He is a fan of Leicester's Midlands rivals, Aston Villa. He played a part in opposition to the recently mooted Super League. And moments like this are why the Super League was such an offensive notion. The idea of a closed shop, the lack of a meritocracy, the removal of the dreams of the smaller clubs. This moment captured for posterity and relayed back to Thailand by the chairman, Ayawat Srivaihanaprabha. His father took over the club when it was down on its knees back in 2010. 6 years later, the Premier League in the most unlikely of circumstances. 5 years on, the FA Cup at the fifth time of asking.
You know, John, often the viewers at home hear you say this coach or this team's punching above their weight, and yet everyone will look at it and say, well, how is Leicester City punching above their weight when they're sitting third in the Premier League? I don't think they fully understand the roster size and the amount of money that go into so many other clubs, where you talk about the rotation of squads in this heavy, congested COVID type of schedule in world football, and yet Brendan Rodgers doesn't have that luxury. And so for them to win this trophy, his first one in England, but more so, potentially qualify for the Champions League, it really is a dream season.
Well, Leicester's recruitment has been grade A for the best part of a decade now. And it is difficult because they don't have the same financial resources as some of those who fancy themselves as super clubs. And Leicester is not the most attractive place to live. It's an unremarkable city, 100 miles north of London in the East Midlands. But they have produced Premier League winners and now FA Cup winners as well. A fist bump for Brendan Rodgers from Prince William. The players coming up individually. Normally, His Royal Highness would hang the medals around the necks of the players. Not in the COVID era, sadly. Maybe next year we will return to that FA Cup final tradition. Some of those who didn't make the pitch, like Ricardo Pereira, Iheanacho, whose goals were so vital through the course of the earlier rounds. Leicester City about to become the 45th different winners of a competition that has sides as diverse as the Old Etonians and the Old Carthusians and the Wanderers and the Royal Engineers on its list of past winners. Wes Morgan involved. He only got the word this morning that he would definitely be named on the bench. Prince William declines the handshake most politely. And Kasper Schmeichel, who now has a reason to inscribe his name in the history books, not least as captain of Leicester City, as Leicester get to live the dream of all football clubs. After 137 years of trying, they can lift the FA Cup high to the skies, past and present. Morgan and Schmeichel, Leicester City, not just daring to dream, but living the ultimate dream of winning the cup. Let's hope they take better care of it than Arsenal last year, because at this stage, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was dropping it on the Wembley turf, and it spent a couple of months being repaired before being returned to the Arsenal club, who have now given it up to the FA, and they have delivered it into the care of the new holders of the competition, Leicester City. Anne Taylor these two sides have to do it all again in 3 days' time in the Premier League with a big prize
at stake. Which is unreal, but don't tell Leicester City that, because I think for the next 24 to 36 hours, they're going to enjoy that first FA Cup trophy they've ever won.
Well, Yuri Tielemans scored a goal we'll be talking about for years to come. And Kasper Schmeichel, a save that will be ranked alongside the famous stop of Sunderland's Jimmy Montgomery in 1973 as one of the best ever. Leicester have won the cup. They have beaten Chelsea by a goal to nil.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Do you think it meant more to Leicester players?
I do. We were just saying that. Being impartial as you can, but I'm actually, there's something quite pleasing about seeing what that meant to a team that hasn't won it, players that haven't won it. Yeah, we saw Wes Morgan at the end, who's that iconic figure in the 2016 Premier League team, a team that won the Premier League under Claudio Ranieri. But that's all changed now, and you know, to think what's happened to that club and the ownership of that club with the tragic helicopter crash not too long ago that killed the owner and others. But yet, it still, after all that turmoil, that club still seems to be on rock-solid foundations.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the reasons Brendan Rodgers has sort of batted off the idea that he would go to an Arsenal or a Tottenham or someone. I mean, that may happen at some point, but he seems at the moment happy with the structure he's got there, with the playing squad he's got there. And why wouldn't you be? I mean, they're probably going to be playing Champions League football next year. And this is going to be one of the greatest nights of these players' career, with fans at the stadium.
Yeah.
Deservedly winning with one of the great FA Cup goals, with one of the great FA Cup saves from Kasper Schmeichel, who I think it was Jürgen that was talking about it lately, his father. He hasn't got the presence of Peter Schmeichel, who most of us played against, because he was such a big, imposing goalkeeper. But his shot-saving, Kasper Schmeichel, is excellent, absolutely excellent.
Celebrations all around then. I'm told we can now go to Wembley and join up with Alexis and Nate.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, I think we can only just start to hear you. I can't even hear myself, which is always a shocker. There are tears flowing here at Wembley. The Leicester fans are still in front of us, the players right behind us. A lot of the players walking around Nadum, Ayosi Perez, Kelly Chi and Nacho, with their hands on their head, kind of just in the moment, so to speak. Nadum's been trying to call to Kasper Schmeichel for the longest time, and he's just in a trance as well.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. As you were kind of alluding to in the studio, this feels special. You know, obviously Chelsea could have won it and they would have been happy, but for these Leicester City fans, you know, you're seeing people in tears. This is different, and it's been an absolutely incredible day. And to be honest, it's nice that I can't quite hear the studio, because it shows that people are here having a good time, and we're just in the right spot for that.
And like, you know, we were hearing from the commentators, Taylor Twelman was saying that it's weird that we kind of look at this as a underdog or under fox, see what I did their story.
Yes, yeah.
Because Leicester City are actually higher than Chelsea in the Premier League. They are to be considered as a top club in the Premier League, or just in football, at least here in England. But this still kind of feels like an underdog story.
Yeah, they did. They 100% did. You know, yesterday I was on the show and I thought Chelsea were going to win 2-1. And maybe I was disrespectful with that, because obviously, as I say, Chelsea feel like they're in a good moment. But Leicester City is still ahead of them. And I think going into the game, you saw the way that both teams played. There wasn't that much in it, but that was a beautiful goal. And to give special credit to Kasper Schmeichel, because he was in my youth team, and I saw what he went through to get to this level.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see. I'm so happy, so proud for him, and you know that's one of the best saves I've seen, and on such a big occasion. You know,
Daddy would be proud.
His father would be delighted. Yes.
Definitely. Well, the Leicester players, I think, are coming around now with the trophy. We'll see if we can get them behind us in just a little bit. But if you're going to win the FA Cup, let's just have a word on that goal from Yuri Tielemans.
Yeah.
Happened. Yes. We had no words. Our jaws, we went dead silent. But
yes.
Wow.
But you know, the thing was, though, the moment he had the ball at his feet, you could hear the Leicester fans telling him to shoot. So they do have a level of trust in him to be able to do that. And lo and behold, the strike was so nice. Kepa had no chance, and that was such a big moment in the game. I think from there, you know, Leicester, they weren't, as I say, I don't think they were incredible throughout the game, but they took that chance and then they defended so, so well. And I think Brendan Rodgers kind of got the tactics right late doors as well, because as soon as Giroud was coming on, Wes Morgan was coming on. So the matchups were good. And Chelsea, you know, when Pulisic came on, they were more dynamic. But ultimately today, you look at it, and I don't know if they deserve to win. So credit to Leicester City for that. And I think from this point forward, we're going to have to put a bit more respect on their names.
Massive, massive big up to my boy Wes Morgan, my fellow Jamaican, you know, as a FA Cup final champion. But let's talk about Brendan Rodgers. We saw the players hoisting him up, and there's been a lot of stories about him in the English media leading up to this week, because, you know, he was involved in a Premier League title race with Liverpool. He has won trophies in Scotland. You know, he helped Swansea, you know, win the championship playoff finals. Yet still, he almost feels underrated of sorts when you try to compare him to the top managers, at least in Europe.
Yeah.
Do you think this has helped his case?
Yeah, I think it has. But then some of those top managers in Europe, it's because top jobs become available and they're part of that conversation. At this moment in time, the job that's available, which people are talking about, is the Spurs job.
Yeah.
But Brendan Rodgers in a situation with a team that's in the top four, that's just won the FA Cup, that within the last few years has won a Premier League, realistically, is it a step up for him? You know, they might be more ambitious, but at the end of the day, Leicester have had more substance across the years, so I think this is a big moment for him in his career. Whether or not he's still going to be at that top table, I'm not sure, but it's definitely something which nobody can take away from him.
Absolutely. Well, the players are still coming around, so it's only going to get noisier and noisier. We'll head back to studio in the meantime. Dan?
Thank you very much, guys. Let's take you through the highlights then, shall we, of the 2021 FA Cup final, the 140th final in the history of the competition. Didn't really look. The fact we're picking up the highlights in the 63rd minute pretty much tells you everything you need to know what happened in the opening hour. But then this, we're going to be watching, seeing a lot, Craig.
Yeah, it was a Reece James pass out of the back. He was playing right-sided centre-back. Jose Perez goes to block it, hits the left knee and then the right elbow. Deemed by VAR, but because it came off the other part of the leg first, it wasn't an infringement. However, whether you agree or disagree, whatever, what you can't debate is the quality of this strike. He picked the ball up. He didn't allow Thiago Silva the time to get out to him because he took it so early. And he used Thiago Silva as a way, as a shield around Kepa and absolutely bent the ball beautifully.
Chelsea really only started to attack the last 10 minutes. Chilwell here denied by Schmeichel.
Well, that'll be another one of the talking points. Chilwell didn't play, Alonso played, he was pretty ineffective. That was one of the surprises in the selection. Just off the bench, great little touch here from Kasper Schmeichel, as you said. Oh. Jeez, fingertips. I mean, that's the difference.
And then Mount thinks he scored, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, Mason Mount can't hit this any better. He hits it clean as a whistle. Clean. No back lift. So he doesn't have time to take a run up at it. And Kasper Schmeichel's reaction there, with the slow-mo camera doesn't do it justice. The pace in the ball is incredible at live game speed. And for him to make that save, trust me, one of the best saves in a cup final that I've seen for years. And ultimately, one that has got them over the line.
Absolutely brilliant. Of course, Chelsea did have the ball in the back of the net. It was an own goal.
Yeah, and eventually it was Soyuncu who whacked it into big Wes Morgan, who was just off the bench, could do nothing about it. And the celebrations are going on, it's extra time, and then...
Oh, it's so close.
It's inches, but after a cut, I mean, it's black and white. Whether we like the laws and the way they're interpreted in England or whatever, offside is offside. I would like to see the laws change so it's not a game of inches, because offside is always about gaining advantage. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about centimetres or inches, it's not gaining advantage. However, it was the correct decision.
Leicester then, for the first time in the club's history, winning the FA Cup, beating Chelsea by 1-0. Tielemans' strike proving to be the difference between the two sides. Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, just take us through how good a strike that is from Tielemans.
It was just fantastic. I mean, we were expecting... he was having such a fantastic game. He was controlling the midfield, passed a few good passes, but definitely I couldn't expect this from him. I know that he's got a fantastic strike, but I think that he saw himself so alone without no one to pass, because I think the body was in the right, in the left side, so he couldn't try to find him. He tried his luck, and I think it was just fantastic. We were mentioning before the game, 2006 final, about that strike from Steven Gerrard, and it's kind of similar. Arriving to that the same distance, try, because you are late in the game, you don't know what you're going to do, just try and hit the ball. And I think it was just beautiful. Fantastic goal, well deserved for Leicester, that he was, of course, struggling at the back, trying to create chances, but look at that. It was a beautiful goal by Tielemans.
Yeah, Jürgen, a goal that's worthy of winning any competition.
Yeah, an absolute beauty. I mean, Tielemans not only had an outstanding game, but this goal obviously puts a stamp on the game. They won the midfield battle, and often we say, you know, in football that, you know, the midfield decides the game. He and Didi, you know, they won their battles against Kante and Jorginho, and that made a big difference. But to score it in such a manner is something very, very special. But it's also, I think, you know, at the end of the day, It's a compliment to Leicester City, what they built over the years. You know, obviously 5 years ago with the title, the Premier League title, everybody talked about the sensation and the surprise, and that was impossible. But they built consistency, and Brendan Rodgers took this club over then and built more and more consistency. Now they're consistently in the top four, top five in England, and even in the Premier League ahead of Chelsea. So today's win actually is not a surprise. It's a statement of consistency, what they've done, what they built, what they believed. The emotional part of it was unbelievable to see. They have a great chemistry and a great energy, and they fully deserve that FA Cup.
Yeah, that energy and team certainly was epitomised, Frank, wasn't it, by the celebrations that we saw after the game?
You know, it's what we want to see when you watch the FA Cup final. You want to see people, you know, getting crazy. And when he scored the goal and after the celebration, it's at the level we are expecting to see a celebration. And I think, I don't know if they deserve it, but I'm pleased for them because it creates history. And why, it's what we like in football. And as Jürgen said, you know, it's a statement of consistency. It's not like Leicester made a surprise. Of course, Chelsea was the favourite. But at the end of the day, Leicester is third in the league. Leicester won the league like 5 years ago. Leicester is creating something absolutely fantastic. And players are coming. Let's see Tielemans. He was in Monaco. He was really poor. He signed to Leicester. People in France say, why do you go to Leicester when you belong to Monaco? It's not a promotion. Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Fofana, why do you leave Saint-Etienne to go to Leicester where nobody knows, nobody want to go? Yeah, there is a reason why. And the reason why is you can win titles, you can win FA Cups, and you are absolutely promoted when you sign for Leicester now.
Brendan Rodgers sometimes was a bit of a joke figure, wasn't he? When he went to Liverpool, obviously did the documentary. He was kind of the butt of some jokes. Went to Celtic, hugely successful there. And then obviously proving himself once again in the Premier League. Certainly silencing his critics.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's got any critics in terms of his football management. Not many. There are some off-field stuff and rhetoric that I think he's calmed that down over the years. I mean, some of the stuff in the early days was a little cringeworthy, but that's aside from his managerial ability. Look, the job he did at Swansea, he should have won the league at Liverpool. I mean, they capitulated. They were, what, 7 points clear or something, with like three games to go, whatever it was. They completely folded. He had huge success at Celtic, my old club, but you know, people would sort of bat that away and say, well, man, look at the competition and all that. And, you know, whether that's right or wrong, he's come into Leicester, a side that under Claude Puel were hard to watch. They've played some great football. They've lost key players, but they've recruited well. When you look at, like, say, Castagna and Soyuncu, you look at the job Ndidi's done, you look at the signing of James Justin from Luton, who's played all across the back four, and he's been out mostly. I mean, some of these guys have not played. They've done it without... I mean, they started the game with a half-fit centre-half, Johnny Evans. No wonder the back line was all over the place. He was dropping off. He wasn't fit. They started the game and they've played recently without James Justin. I mentioned they've had Maddison out injured, right? They've changed the shape of the team. They've gone to a back three. They've started playing two up front quite a while ago. Iheanacho found his form. He's been able to utilise his squad. I think he's managed it absolutely brilliantly. I think he deserves this. I don't think there's many critics out there. And I've changed my opinion in a sense. I always thought he would be looking to jump ship. And I think he will move eventually, but it looks to me that he's in no particular rush.
No. Like, for example, why would you go to Spurs, for example?
Yeah, exactly. And I think maybe some of us, and myself included, just think Tottenham or Arsenal or somebody comes available, somebody like Brendan Rodgers will just jump. And we do see that happening now and again. But I'm just thinking, like, maybe advising a young player to stay at a club a year or two longer, that he's thinking, do you know what? I'm going to wait and see what I can build on what we already have, particularly if they finish off the job in the Premier League this season like they should do and they play in Europe's elite competition next year. I mean, how much better does it get than that after winning the FA Cup to know that you're going to be going in to the Champions League and test yourself once again at that level? I don't see any major reason at the moment for him to be looking to jump ship.
Meanwhile, for Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel, of course, no wrong really since he took over the Blues in January. They have we seen, like, throughout the season, they have struggled to score lots of goals, but they've been tight at the back, and that's what has been the key to their success. Jürgen, where did he get it wrong, if indeed he did get it wrong today?
Well, obviously, if you lose the game, then there were a couple of things that went wrong. And we discussed it before the game. We were so surprised that Christian Pulisic was not starting the game. He did really well last couple of weeks. I think there was not enough attacking power in the side starting it off. And then he threw everybody in the last 20, 25 minutes. And actually, the dynamic of the game changed. They almost equalized. Obviously, it was a very tight offside situation there. But I think he should have been a little bit more courageous from the beginning on. You know, having more players going forward. Azpilicueta, obviously, Azpi is not a right winger. He's not a right winger. He's a right back. You know, so he found himself there in the right winger position that is not his, really. I think there are probably, when you look back as a manager now and you kind of wrap it up again this game, and he has only a couple of days because obviously he still play Premier League and he still has a very, very important Champions League final ahead of him. But he will realize that a couple of things that he thought were the right things didn't work out. And now he has time to correct it. And it will be interesting to see the next few games by Chelsea.
Frank, what frustrated you from a Chelsea point of view the most today?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Can you repeat, please?
What frustrated you the most from a Chelsea perspective today, Frank?
The fact that they slow down the game. When they go, they're okay until the last third of the pitch, and then they go around, they think too much, they just think too much. That's my concern there. Well, should I do that? Should I go there? At the end of the day, you do nothing. Because if you start thinking and you're not intuitive, you don't do that. After, I think Alonso was a bad choice as well. I think Chilwell should have played at first and should have been lined up to start, because he can bring more defensively and also bring something offensively that doesn't bring Alonso. He can free the space, where Alonso takes the space and doesn't free it. That's the main concern for me. And what did Chilwell at the end of the game? I don't think Alonso is able to do it when they scored the goal that he was disallowed. And maybe he could have done that many times. It's my concern. And still, I think he made Tuchel made too long to make the substitution as well. Where, as Jürgen mentioned, Pulisic maybe should have whether start or go on earlier, I think. That's my problem. My problem has always been the problem that I have with Chelsea this season. They don't score enough goals. With the talent that they have, there is a problem finding the solution to be in position to score goals.
I think when you always look back at a team and a manager after a game, and you look about sometimes people trying to, and I think Frank has touched on this a few times, it's just too much trying to overthink.
Right.
You look at the Azpilicueta and Reece James scenario. Now, Azpilicueta has been playing quite a bit recently as a wing-back. But if you're going to have the two of them in the same side, and I know he played Reece James, we believe, because he wanted to combat the threat in behind and use his pace. But Azpilicueta is one of the most solid defenders in Europe.
Yeah.
And he's quick enough, and he's not the biggest. Might not defend the back post as well, but he's pretty good. And on the other hand, you then diminish the attacking threat, because Chelsea got nothing literally from wide areas today, right? Everyone was sort of through the middle, and that eventually suited Leicester. Mount and Ziyech and Naro, and so that kind of played into the hands. But you think about it, you've got a young guy at 19 years old, or I believe he's 19, Luke Thomas, and what a day that must have been for the boy, playing left wing back for Leicester, and yet you don't have a really good attacking fullback, stroke wingback in Reece James running at him, putting him under pressure. And listen, when you play against teams, and I don't want to be horrible, but you pick it. Look, he's inexperienced. He's 19. He'll be absolutely a nervous wreck.
Right.
Because you want to win the game. Let's go and play on him. Right? Where's your weak point? Where can we get at them? I'm not saying the young man's a bad player. He's not. He's come off the back of scoring a great goal at Old Trafford, a wonder goal, but defensively, he's still learning the game. Mm. And as Jürgen said, Azpilicueta, he'll run all day and he'll defend all day, but he can really only keep the ball simple. Passing, he's not going to get down the wing. And Reece James can whip brilliant balls in, right? But he's not going to do it from right wing back. And I just feel that was, I get it, what he was trying to do with Reece James there, but I think that's a classic case of overthinking the situation.
Luis, what do you think?
Exactly, I'm with the guys. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think that when you are a manager, and I'm not going to say much things about, of course, Tuchel, but he showed us how good he is managing this kind of situation, how he did for Chelsea. But it's true that when they arrive at halftime, we all agreed that he needed something different. He needed a change. He needed, if it is not 45 minutes, after 5 minutes, because you can see that you are not breaking the lines of Leicester. I think Brendan Rodgers read very good what Tuchel wanted to do, everything into the middle. So I'm going to put a lot of people in the middle and leave the flanks. And like Craig was saying, you got James in the as a centre back, and you got Azpilicueta. Just make a change, just swap it. There is not a big change, but James is gonna give you something else. So it's something that you can start from the after halftime without doing any change. And after you bring the players like Pulisic, players who you're gonna need, because you need to break those lines. With so many people, you need people who go one to one that can break in something different, that can create something special. And I think that's Pulisic. And you take too much time to put it on the field. And after, you wanna bring everything. People are tall in the air. Hudson-Odoi in the right side to try to crosses, but you are already too late because you got a one goal. And Brendan, it was just putting more people in the middle because everything was trying to go through the middle. So it's easy to talk when it's, everything is finished and you can analyze a little bit, but I think he should have get into what it was happening during the game, adapt quicker to the situation and make a couple of good changes. Because, for example, another one, it was Jorginho was playing so slow into the field, and you need a little bit quicker to move the ball to side if you want to move that defense of Leicester. So it's a few things that I think that Tuchel could have managed better. But, of course, it's easier now that we've seen the result.
It's the first of four huge games for Chelsea, of course, still looking to book a place in the Champions League next season. They face Leicester on Tuesday. Did that play on his mind, do you think, in that team selection?
I'm guessing. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it should have been. I think you got to worry about the big, important game now.
Yeah.
And then brush everybody down at the end. Injuries are part of, and being tired is part of playing football. You know, put your best side out and brush them down after the game and then see who's ready to go again in 2 or 3 days' time. He didn't do that, and that's why I'm saying, there's a lot of games, I understand, and sometimes you have to think about rotating, but not in an FA Cup final. You know what I mean? You've got to take care of business first. And they didn't do that today.
But do you think that he put that team out because he think that team could beat Leicester as opposed to that being his best team?
Oh, there's no doubt he thought that team could beat Leicester, otherwise he wouldn't have selected it. But it's not his best team.
Right.
And the two can't go hand in hand. And he's got it wrong. It's as simple as that. And I don't know. I just think sometimes we're overcomplicating it. Once again,
Craig.
Werner's ineffective. Ziyech has had a troubled season. He's injured at the start and he's ineffective. I just think one manager got it wrong, and the other manager didn't have that many choices.
Sure.
He was forced into making decisions, Brendan Rodgers, in the end, but he didn't have the choices that Tuchel had. And I think in the end, Tuchel juggled the balls and ended up dropping half of them.
Is it Frank?
Yes, just an example of a statement, in fact, that he didn't put down the best team. We all consider that Mendy is the best goalkeeper than Kepa. Mm. On the other side, Brendan Rodgers didn't hesitate on putting Schmeichel in the FA Cup final. I don't know, it's a fantastic shot from Tielemans, but I think maybe, supposedly, Mendy could have been able to get it.
Wow.
And maybe the substitute of Schmeichel couldn't get the man shot, and it would have been a different result. So, yes, I think you have to put down the best team you have for an FA Cup final. And he didn't. He didn't.
Luis, your fellow countryman being blamed for Chelsea losing the FA Cup final. Kepa should have saved that, Frank says.
Yeah, of course. Of course, at the moment you start to point everywhere. Who are the ones who got it wrong? And I think it's very difficult to say that. Yeah, it's true that the Mendy is stronger, he's a little bit taller. So he could have saved it, but I think the Tielemans did well, and we have to give a lot of credit and not try to blame the keeper, because it's a fantastic strike from far away, so difficult to save.
Jürgen,
I didn't blame the goalkeeper. I didn't blame the goalkeeper.
I know. They're trying to blame.
I blame Tuchel. that's Dan Thomas. That's Thomas doing his job badly. That's it.
Away from Frank trying to dig himself out of this hole, Jürgen, you take a look at it, and do you think Tuchel was preoccupied slightly by what's still to come?
I don't think so. I think he badly wanted to win this match. This is huge. I mean, winning an FA Cup is something very, very outstanding you can achieve in your career. So I don't think that he, by any means, looked towards the next couple of games coming up. But obviously, when you then summarize a game and when you lose a game, you go into details and you look at the little pieces that don't work out. You know, you work on your puzzle, and we already discussed, the puzzle on the right side with Azpilicueta and James. Maybe you should have switched these two roles. On the other side, you look at Brendan Rodgers, and he had to make the adjustment when Johnny Evans came off. He went into a back four, and he dropped then Castagne to a right back and had Albrighton in front of him, which worked out tremendously well. But the game, again, was won then in the midfield, was won by Tielemans and by NDD. But Thomas will definitely go through those pieces and say, shit, I missed a couple of points here. I could have done this, I could have done that. But that's also about the growth of a manager. It's also about, accepting that you make here and there some mistakes. So throughout your career, you will make some small mistakes, and it can end up in a big loss, like it happened today. So you got to give all the credit today to Brendan Rodgers and this outstanding Leicester team, and congratulate them for an amazing achievement. And again, when you then look forward to a European Champions League final, you got to turn the page as quick as you can, get your players back on track, get them refocused on the next few games, still the two outstanding games in the Premier League, and then try to do everything you can to win the European Champions League final.
Jürgen won a World Cup. He can swear. It's all right. Let's go to Wembley and catch up with Nadim and Alexis, shall we? Guys, just take us through, without swearing, if you don't mind, the emotions of what it was like when Chilwell thought that he got the equaliser and then VAR cancelled out. I imagine the roller coaster emotions between the two sets of fans was quite something.
Oh my goodness, it absolutely was. And like I was saying, Nedim and I were sat right on the in the media side that was right in the middle of the Leicester fans. And you could probably hear a pin drop in our side of Wembley. And then, of course, once VAR came in, Nedim, I mean, that must have been absolute heartbreak for the Chelsea end.
Yeah, it was. It was. You could see that Chelsea were disappointed throughout the day. So to have that moment and that reprieve, you know, you would have fancied them to go on from there because they're quite a very attacking team out. Whereas for Leicester, it was a bit more defensive. But then they celebrated. Then it says possible VAR check, and you see the Leicester fans start celebrating. And then very quickly, the offside was given. Like, and I was surprised at that. Mm. But they did it. And then all of a sudden, as I say, the jubilation amongst the Leicester City fans was right there. And it was my first probably time being in the stadium and seeing a big moment like that, a big VAR call go from one side to the other. And yeah, it was special. I think to be able to sit behind the Leicester City fans like we kind of did today, it made for a very, very good occasion.
There were two fans right in front of me that I think for most of the second half they were watching, facing us with their backs to the pitch because they were praying at one point too. And I think just seeing the blood drain from their faces when they thought that Chilwell had scored that goal. And of all people, Ben Chilwell
Well,
who got a very rough reception when his name was read out with the Chelsea team sheet. But, you know, a lot of talk, of course, in studio about Chelsea and about Thomas Tuchel and his decisions today. Did you see anything that he probably could have done a bit better?
With a loss, you can say he could have done certain things better. Yeah. Like, I was surprised initially when I did see Reece James playing right of the three, and Azpilicueta playing higher. But then you look at maybe the reason he's doing for it is because of Jamie Vardy in behind. And I think Reece James overall did very well against Jamie Vardy. I think if we look at the game, if we try and look at the game objectively, Jamie Vardy didn't have his best game for Leicester City today. And I think some of that was to do with, you know, the way that Reece James and other people were sort of marshalling him, essentially. And the same with Rudiger, with Iheanacho on the other side. But as I say, it's one or two things. I don't think Jorginho was at his best. Kante wasn't at his best. But ultimately, the players which he sent out, I think they were good enough to win the game. Mm-hmm. But they just didn't perform to their own standards today. And I think Leicester City ultimately ended up capitalising on that. And yeah, I think for Chelsea, they'll be disappointed because there could have been a lot more for them today because they were in good form going into the game.
And perfect time, I suppose, to wrap up here. Thomas Tuchel is actually just behind us or now to our left, so we're probably going to have to try and be a little nice and a lot less critical.
Everything, right. Everything was right. Yeah.
Everything, timing was perfect for us, you know. But Chelsea still have a lot to play for. They do have Leicester again on Tuesday, and then they've got a little thing called the Champions League final, but that's up against your boys there of Manchester City. So it's going to be a tough task, but we'll see exactly how the Blues can march on. Dan?
Just shout him. Say that Frank says that Kepa shouldn't have started. Ruined it for everyone.
I do agree. I mean, I think Reece James did a good job defensively, and that was the reason for doing that. But then you're negating the wider area on the right-hand side. I mean, it's quite a negative approach, really, from a team that are favourites. Yeah. I mean, if we want to be frank about it, it's quite defensive. And I don't think... And without being arrogant, that Tuchel should have been worrying as much about Leicester as he was. And, you know, Hudson-Odoi played as a right wing-back under Thomas Tuchel. It was a strange one when we saw it early on. But, you know, he would have given you more from that position. I just think the combination of those two in those positions didn't work. And also, talking about the middle of the park, since his injury, Kovacic has been a huge miss, I think.
Right.
Because he was a player I think was playing really well for Tuchel and Chelsea. He's a player that does play the ball quicker than Jorginho. He's a player that will get forward, get onto the edge of the box. He'll take pot shots. He'll try and play passes in. He tries to play forward whenever he can. He's been out, I think it's a hamstring injury. I don't know how close he is, if he's going to be available soon or not. But they missed him in the middle of the park. So, yeah, it just was not Chelsea's day. They did not play well. The manager did not get his team selection correct. And Leicester City overcame the problems that they had, and it was that little bit of quality in the end that you know, when your top midfielder has to stand up and shoot with that quality from 25 yards, and when your goalkeeper has to stand up, and he wasn't busy, Kasper Schmeichel, during the 90 minutes. He didn't have that many saves to make. Mm. He had two really key ones to make from the Chilwell header and the Mason Mount shot. And when he was asked the question, he was absolutely on his game on both occasions.
Luis, what does this mean for Tuesday?
Once again, to read again what is going to happen. I guess that the game plan for Brendan Rodgers is exactly the same. I don't think that it's going to change much. But it's true that in the other side, Tuchel is going to try to, once again, try to rotate, try to see what is going to happen there up front, because it didn't work today. Once I made picking Bernard up front, it didn't work. See, it didn't work. And he knows he had that mistake. I'm sure that when he arrived home and watched again the game, he's going to find out that it wasn't the right situation. And he's going to try to rotate it again. We've seen it very often in the last couple of months. He's been trying to find who are the best three, trying to rotate Ben here, Pulisic there, Zizek, Havertz playing together. And at the end, he needs to try to find the ones that they work and trying to keep it, because they haven't played, I think, two or three games in a row, the same ones. That's very difficult too, because at the end, the same happened at the back. You guys were mentioning before, when you are not, the changes that you made at the back, they are very difficult to cope with, because they need to have a very good communication. You know what you got in the right, what you got in the left, and up front exactly the same. Every single time that I have to look forward and think, is Timo Werner there, is Havertz, is Cecilia, they are totally different players. And then you need to understand and pass the ball differently. So it's something to think about, and I'm sure that Tuchel is going to try to do it.
Do you know the only thing? And you know I'm not one for appeasing any audience. And I couldn't give a stuff about sitting here and trying to appease an American audience. I don't care. But I am scratching my head about this Pulisic situation. I really am. And the only thing that I can think of is that Thomas Tuchel is concerned about his injury history.
Right.
Picking up injuries, playing, getting games and then getting injured again. That's the only reason I can see for Christian Pulisic not starting ahead of Hakim Ziyech. There's no other way, because he's a guy who makes things happen. He's a guy who can get on the ball and run at defenders. And sometimes it's a little frustrating, and sometimes it doesn't come off. But he's always looking to get turned and get at and commit people. And the only reason I can think for not selecting him once again is that he is either saving him for a Champions League final, potentially, or he's worried about his history of picking up injuries. Because I just don't understand why he's not getting more game time.
Or, Jürgen, is it that Thomas Tuchel hates Americans?
No, absolutely not. No. I think, you know, in this whole process that we see over the last couple of months with Christian, but also with Timo Werner or Havertz, or, you know, I think the only one that is really without a doubt, you know, has to play in there is Mason Mount. He's really a very, very special kid there. But he hasn't found his right combination yet. You know, Giroud for me is a fantastic number nine that you could actually play Timo Werner underneath, and then you can have, you know, Pulisic on one side, Mason Mount on the other side. All these options, we can discuss them up and down, but he hasn't found the perfect fit yet for none of them, you know. And this is kind of something where you, as a manager, you try to create your group, you know, your starting 11, based on their positive sides, based on their potential, based on their quality. So how do I get 100% out of Christian Pulisic? How do I get 100% out of Timo Werner? Then you try to work that puzzle in training sessions, you know, day in, day out. And I think after these couple of months that Thomas Tuchel is there at Chelsea and his record speaks for him, he hasn't found that yet. It's not solved yet. There's no 100% yet in every of those attacking players. And this is, an interesting discussion to have. And still, I mean, they're in the Champions League final. This is unbelievable. It's huge. And they have big games still in the Premier League to secure the Champions League spot for next season. But it's still a work in progress.
So, I mean, you can never have too many players, but sometimes you can have too many decisions.
Right.
You know, managers are always wanting better quality and bigger squads, but then that gives you decisions to make, particularly if you have good quality players. But what I would say, in terms of trying to find his combination, I thought when they went and played in, what's the Real Madrid's training ground?
Valdebebas.
Yeah. When they went and played over there in the Champions League, the first leg of that knockout, it was Mount and it was Pulisic and it was Werner. And I thought that looked like a damn good combination to me.
Yeah.
As they ran Real Madrid ragged in the first half with the movement and the pace, And Werner making runs and Pulisic and Mount taking up these positions, and then he changes it again. I don't know if he's, again, it's just, I don't know, it's either injuries, it's just he wants to rotate. or he's still not happy with particular combinations. But at times, and I mentioned that game in Madrid, I thought that looked like a decent combination to me.
Final thought then on the final with you, Frank.
Just to say, it's not only on Pulisic, but when Tuchel signed, he put Hudson-Odoi on the right side, and he was on fire. And suddenly Hudson-Odoi disappeared. I don't remember if it was an injury, but I don't think so. It's because of the rotation systems. And in fact, the players are losing the flow. And they don't know where to stand. They don't know if they're going to play. So maybe it doesn't suit the player. It works for Manchester City. We see that many times with Guardiola. But maybe he has the player that he needs to rotate that way. But maybe it doesn't work for Pulisic. Maybe it doesn't work for Hudson-Odoi and the others. So he has to find the right solution, but he has to find it very quickly because sometimes he seems to have it and he loses it. Mm. So hopefully he's going to find it very, very soon.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I don't think many could have predicted Schalke beating Frankfurt, but that's exactly what happened. For more on this, Jürgen Klinsmann is with us. Jürgen, how bad is this from Frankfurt?
Yeah, this is unacceptable. I mean, this is a disaster. I mean, they played a fantastic season until a couple of weeks ago, and then obviously they announced that the general manager, Freddy Bobic, will leave at the end of the season. Then the coach announced that he will leave. And then things were starting to fall apart. And this was today. I mean, this is to enter, you know, at your own, you have it in your own hands to enter the Champions League. We're talking about, I don't know, 70 to 100 million euros entering the Champions League for next season. And to give it away in that way today against Schalke, who is already relegated. Obviously, they're playing for the pride, and they played really well, but they're playing for the pride, not for anything anymore to gain. This is a disaster, an absolute disaster for Eintracht Frankfurt. And it's football is full of surprises until the very end.
No surprises, though, in the Bayern Munich Freiburg game, because Robert Lewandowski would score. Of course, there's such a historic goal for Lewandowski, converting the penalty kick. That is his 40th Bundesliga goal of the season, matching then the record of Gerd Müller. This is what Lewandowski had to say about matching that record.
Oh, I feel incredible. Till now, I don't understand maybe what's exactly happening, what I did, because, you know, this legendary record, to be there is something amazing, something special, and I know that what I did, what we did, this record belongs also to the team, with my teammates. They're also on the list with the all squad what we did, and that's why in this moment maybe it's too early to talk about this because I don't believe it yet, and I didn't believe that I can score so many goals in one season with so many less games as well. So that's why I'm very proud of all team and all my teammates.
Jürgen, what an achievement.
Fantastic achievement. I mean, huge congratulations there to Robert Lewandowski. 40 goals, equalizing the record of Gerd Müller. It's really something very, very special. And he can be very, very proud of himself. It means a lot to everyone at Bayern Munich because Gerd Müller has been, I mean, the foundation of this club. You know, with all these goals in the 70s, winning the European Championship, the World Cup, but especially scoring so many goals for Bayern Munich for so many years, He built really the foundation alongside Franz Beckenbauer and Uli Hoeneß, Paul Breitner in the 70s, 80s, then of this probably right now biggest club in the world. So it's a special achievement from Robert Lewandowski. It's also special how they kind of communicated this whole last couple of weeks to get closer and closer to Gerd Müller, because Gerd Müller is very, very sick. So it's a tribute to Gerd Müller too. I grew up with watching Gerd Müller, and I adored him, admired him throughout my entire life. And the way they show respect for Gerd Müller with this kind of situation with Robert Lewandowski was very, very nice, very moving.
Meanwhile, focusing on the relegation scrap, some significant results. They Hertha Berlin 0, Cologne 0, leading Cologne in big trouble. Remember Schalke, as we mentioned, already down. One games remain. Cologne in the second from bottom spot. Werder Bremen, meanwhile, in the playoff spot. Werder Bremen losing against Augsburg today by 2-0. Bielefeld, meanwhile, getting a big point against Hoffenheim for the moment to keep them safe. It's going to be some final day, isn't it, Jürgen?
And this is what the relegation battles are all about drama. And now we have real drama in Germany next week, because anything is still possible. Cologne could still step out of the relegation kind of playoff spot. If they jump up two spots, they are safe. And obviously the third last place plays the playoff game against the third highest team ranked in the second Bundesliga. So this is what it's all about. It will be down to the wire, and it will be very exciting next week.
Jürgen, thank you very much. Just a reminder then, what a doubleheader we have for you from Germany tomorrow. Mainz taking on Borussia Dortmund. A win for Dortmund will put them in the Champions League. That's followed by Leipzig against Wolfsburg. Just a reminder, ESPN then, the new home for La Liga, as they signed an 8-year deal this week in both English and Spanish language. It has been quite the season, hasn't it? Atletico Madrid, with two matches remaining, sit 2 points clear at the top of the table of Real Madrid, the defending champions. Just a reminder, who's got what left? Well, for Real Madrid, they've got to go to the new San Mamés, take on Athletic Bilbao, and then it's Villarreal at home. Barcelona are out of it, we don't even talk about them, but for Atleti, it's Osasuna at home, and then away against Real Valladolid. Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, who's winning this Liga?
that's the good question. That's a tough question. I think probably Atletico Madrid at the moment is the ones that are going to be favorites in the last two games. I think Barcelona has their chance. When they play against Atletico Madrid, they got the draw. It wasn't enough. And then Granada took 3 points, massive points, last weekend with Barcelona, getting another draw against Levante, a 3-3 draw. I think they threw away the chances of trying to win La Liga. Real Madrid is being there, it's been quiet, not maybe with the best football, showing the best football, but again, with the experience of the player, the quality they got from with Benzema leading the team, they got there. They got 2 points behind. But this Atletico Madrid, who was the one who maybe we all got doubts 1 month ago when they're struggling to get results with a lot of draws, they managed to find out again the rhythm of the start of the competition when they start being more dominant on the game, not sitting back at the back with Simeone's style. And they start getting once again the good results. And with the draw against Barcelona, they are there at the top. And I think that they are going to manage to arrive to the last game with the chances of getting the trophy.
Great stuff, Luis Garcia. Thank you very much. Looking forward to working with you more as La Liga comes to ESPN in that historic 8-year deal. Meanwhile, Craig, of course, the FA Cup final. The big story in England today, Leicester City beating Chelsea. And what made it with the fans? Like, seeing the fans and the tears and just everything, all that emotion, it just brings home, doesn't it, how good it is to have them back.
Yeah, I mean, we've enjoyed... Listen, we were thankful to get the amount of... the amount of soccer on TV and as we did particularly during the height of the pandemic. However, the longer it went on, the more hollow it was feeling. These big, vast stadiums and nobody there. And I think it was starting to affect the players as well because the quality of the games were starting to dip. But just seeing the start of that game today And I know, having been at that stadium as often as I have, when it's a fantastic stadium at Wembley, and I thought 20,000 of that, I kind of wondered, how would that feel in such a big stadium? But do you know what? We've been so used to empty stadiums, Dan, that actually it felt like a really good atmosphere.
Yeah, it really did, didn't it? Leicester City then, for the first time in the history of the club, winning the FA Cup final.